So where does it begin? Whose is this? I think it's, he's going to miss it. It's Kevin's. I'll give this to you, Lisa. I mean, he might need those glasses, you know. As many of you remember, I do not like pulpits. So the first thing I had to ask Dave this morning is, am I going to be okay? And he answered, yes, the joystick moves freely. So you will be seeing me down with you, obviously, because I don't personally believe in pulpits. Because I'm one of you. Not that Doug isn't. Don't get me wrong. It's just that's where my heart is. Sorry, I don't get to do this very much, so it's a joy to be able to stand up in front of you and share. It'll be quick, because I have to go to work. So that's nice, huh? I promised Grant, so he's going to stand up and wave me down if, you know, if something happens that I go over. When I was very young, my sister and I used to have devotionals with my mom. And she would read to us from Proverbs. Little did I know then how wise she was in reading to us from Proverbs. Solomon asked as a very young man, when he became king, for wisdom. That wisdom was given to him by God. He was the wisest man, not only that ever lived, but the wisest man at the time where people would come from all over the world to sit at his feet, asking him questions to try to trip him up, to actually see how really wise he was. When my mom reminded me about that and reminded me why we were reading from Proverbs, I was very young. But when she told me about Solomon and she told me how young he was and how he had become a king, just like you talked about last week with Josiah at 8 years old, Solomon was probably double that, taking the place of David, his father. Someone who literally ruled the world at the time. And here he is, 16 years old, stepping into his father's shoes. And when he asked God for wisdom, not riches, God said, you have done a great thing by asking this. And he gave it to him, literally as a gift. Solomon didn't have to live through life to gain wisdom. When I was 7 or 8 years old, when I first heard the verse that was just read to you, I started praying to God, and I said, God, please give me wisdom. Help me to be a wise person. Help me to make good choices. Not always made good choices. But God has given me wisdom through the life that He has allowed me to live. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. When you think about the kind of wisdom that God is talking about, it's not wisdom of the world. It's not wisdom like Solomon had, where people would come and ask him questions about biology. I mean, back in that day, biology, they'd sit down, they'd ask him all kinds of questions. You know, how do the leaves change colors? You know, and he knew the answer. That's not the kind of wisdom that that verse is talking about. It's talking about having a true perspective of God and who he is and understanding the relationship that he has blessed us to have with him. That's that kind of wisdom. And when you desire that at a young age, be careful what you ask for. If I look back on that prayer, as a person who didn't celebrate the relationships and the joy that I have in Christ, and look back on my life, would I ask for that same kind of wisdom? No, I wouldn't. Who would want to have? Because you see, not too long after that, I found out I had type 1 diabetes. Changed my life. Back then, you know, almost 50 years ago, people didn't live very long with type 1 diabetes. They just didn't. My mom was going to a support group, and she wanted me to go with her, and she said, you know, this is where you're going to find out how they do this and everything. And then she would come home, and she said, you know, you don't need to go. Because she said, these kids are dying at 16 years old. We're just going to ask the Lord to bless you.
Yes.
And he did. But it's not a fun life. It's not. Then about 12 years ago now, I had a severe accident, which most of you know about, that should have taken my life. Should have. I could have put a picture up there, but I just didn't have time. I got asked halfway this week to do this, and so I'm not a PowerPoint person, so it's hard for me to get all that down. But that car, there was nothing left of it. There was nothing left of that car. I should have been dead. But the angels were watching over me, and God saved me from that. And since then, I've almost died over 100 times. All of you know this story. Most of you know it. For those of you who don't, I am a living miracle, literally.
Amen.
It doesn't happen to everybody. It happened to me. And the only reason that I can come up with, because I ask it all the time, why me, God? Why me? I'm not a good person. I don't do great things. I don't stand up in front of people every Sunday like Doug does and give you wisdom after wisdom about God's word. I don't do that regularly. You know what? Why me, God? Why? And the only reason that I can come up with is because at a very young age, I desired God and his wisdom. And from that, I can actually stand down here and sit beside you and talk to you and understand what you're going through. Because whether it's cancer, heart conditions, sorrows, I've been there. Disappointments with jobs, wow, I've been there. I've been there. Financial troubles, I've been there. My dad used to ask me all the time, what are you doing wrong? He literally would ask me that. We would be coming to an education meeting here together, and he'd look over at me and he'd say, what's wrong? What are you doing wrong? Why is all this happening to you? But it has given me an understanding about you, about the people I come in contact with every single day, the people who are struggling with this world, a world that just the news this morning, three talking heads on a screen, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, and who's that third one? Oh, my goodness, not Mark Rubio, but the other guy. Cruz, Tom Cruise, Ted Cruz. Tom Cruise. Wow, that shows how, you know. But, you know, they're there, and the headline was, you know, our world is changing because they're trying to change us to their religion. That was paraphrased, but that's the bulk of it. You know, this is the kind of world, and then the article went on to say, you know, do we want this? You know, and supposedly this guy has done a poll, and three quarters of the nation now do not want this. And Doug's been doing an excellent, excellent job of showing us how far we have come from the truth and where we were from the beginning of our nation. We were talking in class this morning, in the high school class, about, you know, abortion and the birth of Christ. And Daniel brought up the fact that, you know, with Elizabeth and John leaping in her womb, the scripture calls that a baby leaping in her womb. How far have we come that we now can kill millions upon millions of unborn babies? This is the kind of world we live in, where another news story this morning was the two that sued the Kentucky clerk were married. Two lesbians were married, and it's a joyous thing because they were to overcome the person who was standing up for truth. This is the kind of world that we live in. It's not easy to live in this world. Sickness, sorrows, evil that's all abounding us, all around us. What do we do? How do we face it? What is the one thing that is constant always? And we know the answer. That's God. So how do we focus on Him? Last weekend, the reason why myself and my family weren't here is we were on a family vacation. That doesn't happen very often. But we were able to find a farmhouse up near Raystown Lake for $125 a night, and we all shared it. And we all went up there. It was 150 acres. It was just beautiful, beautiful place. Amazing place where we were able to be together and just share being together. It was an amazing time. On Sunday morning when we went up to worship, we went up, walked up, and we walked up into the clearing of the field. The field was void of crops. And yet little Heidi was reaching down and picking the soybean things out of the ground, you know, that were still there. But there was clouds all around, and the weather was just amazing. That we had snow, we had sleet, we had rain, you know, freezing rain, all kinds of stuff. But that morning when we walked up there, even though it felt like it and it looked like it was going to rain, it didn't, or snow, it didn't, or sleet, it didn't. The clouds opened up and the sun was coming straight down through. And I shared this with Darren. I was just like amazed. The entire time we were up there singing and praising God together, here's the sun coming down. Now you can say, well, that's just coincidence. Yeah, okay, fine. It meant something to me, all right? Because what that did is it showed me that what I was doing was right in leading my family to worship the God of this universe. To lead them to understand the importance of relationship. And that's what I want to encourage you guys this morning with. Short and sweet. I've got to go in 2 minutes. Our relationships are the most important thing that we have in this life. And our relationship with God is the beginning of understanding relationships. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It doesn't matter whether you have a father. It doesn't matter whether you have a mother. It doesn't matter whether you've been abused. It doesn't matter whether you've been divorced. It doesn't matter whether you have been ostracized. It doesn't matter whether you've been fired. It doesn't matter whether you have money. It doesn't matter whether you don't have money. It doesn't matter. Amen. It doesn't matter. What matters is Him and your relationship with Him. Jeremiah the prophet, He had all of these things happen to him. He was praising God, and as a priest, a prophet, he was going out and he was telling Jerusalem, you have to repent, you have to turn back. And they were laughing at him, they were putting him down, they were cursing him, they were not listening to him. And then God went further, and he blamed God in limitations about all of this stuff. He blamed him. He said, you sent an arrow through my heart, just like I was a bear or a deer, and put me down on the ground, and covered me with all kinds of horribleness. You put sickness upon my life. You made them laugh at me when I was doing your will. Why, God? Why? And then this is what he says. And I will leave you with this. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 21. He comes to a new view of his God. And this is what we need to do every day. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait on him. If you have a need this morning, come together as we sing.